Many lessons can be found and absorbed from studying even recent history. Those lessons are magnified when the person presenting the story of that history was actually there, such as the case of my next guest. As the Abraham Accords reach their third anniversary today, we're joined by a person who was there before, during, and after what many thought was impossible, but yes, it was accomplished. He provides behind-the-scenes view of the story in his book, Let My People Know, The Incredible Story of Middle East Peace and What Lies Ahead. He served as Chief of Staff and Senior Advisor to the U.S. Ambassador to Israel. Ariel Lightstone, how are you today, Mr. Lightstone?
It's a special day, and I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
It is a day to celebrate with. Still more work to do, which you address as well and Let My People Know. You can follow Aria at Lightstone EA on Twitter. We have a link at our page as well. You can also pick up his book, which, again, Aria, just to have history from the inside as opposed from the outside looking in, what do you think is the most valuable lesson that someone could possibly come to an understanding about with the Abraham Accords through reading Let My People Know?
I think the most important lesson from the book is how incredibly special the United States of America is. It's funny that I had to go to the Middle East to understand that being born as an American is the single greatest blessing that somebody has probably ever had in history. When the United States of America leads, we can create incredible things. I remember growing up, I was told I won't be a brain surgeon and I won't do Middle East peace. So one out of two is not bad. These were sort of the impossibilities that people couldn't contemplate, and that was really just a deficiency in understanding the greatness of the United States of America. And when the U.S. led, we were successful in five peace treaties in 123 days, starting from 3 years ago today. Unfortunately, in the 3 years since then, the only peace treaty that has been brokered in the Middle East is a reconciliation between Saudi Arabia, a good friend and ally of the United States of America, and Iran, the exact opposite of that. And the reason why that deal was brokered, it was brokered by China. There are a lot of losers in that situation, but the biggest loser is the United States of America.
We'll get into that a little bit, too, because that foretells what could be a wrong turn that could come ahead, again, which Ariel writes about and Let My People Know. But let's go back to the starting line. What created the belief that the plan, this idea, would, if not succeed, at least move forward to some degree versus the decades of what we saw fail time after time after time?
So here's where I saw it. And you know, Jared Kushner, President Trump, Mike Pompeo, David Friedman saw it from a completely different angle than I saw it. And so, you know, I'll give all the credit in the world to their worldview. But I had a very interesting encounter with a fellow named Maoz, which was his code name in the Israeli Secret Services. And his job was to develop relations with countries that Israel did not yet have relations with. And there's a whole slew of countries that Israel has security and intelligence relationships with that, if you look at them at the United Nations or in Washington, D.C., they'll never even give each other a second glance. They don't have formal relations. And I remember Maoz came back to me after a trip that he took to a specific African country, and he said, Arye, there's something different. And I turned to him and I said, what's different? He said, they're not looking for the latest weaponry or intelligence or security, but they're looking for coding academies so that way their people can figure out how to become part of the startup nation. They're looking for food tech and ag tech, so they can go from worried about tomorrow's breakfast to being able to plan out an entire year of sustainability. And he said, once they view Israel as the solution and not the problem, there's a chance. And the U.S. ran with that. And whether it was recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel or opening up our embassy in Jerusalem on May 14, 2018, things that had been promised since 1996, once we stood closer with Israel without a vacuum, without a gap, other countries who want to stand close to the United States of America realize that that path can go through Jerusalem.
One of, I think, the most overlooked aspects of the Abraham Accords, it's an agreement Israel reached with what's called them enemy nations, although the cooperation has significantly improved in those relations. It's an agreement where Israel didn't have to give up anything.
That's exactly correct. The beautiful part about that is, again, Israel was not the problem. Israel was the solution. And that's a major shift from foreign policy that the Trump administration introduced that unfortunately we're reverting on this. And I'll just be, you know, brief history. In 1967, there was the famous Six-Day War. Israel was attacked or preemptively attacked because they were about to be attacked by five surrounding nations. In stunning fashion, they quadrupled their territory. Since then, they made peace with Egypt, they made peace with Jordan, and those were cold pieces. And essentially, it was an agreement that Jordan and Egypt were not going to send more of their young men to die because Israel was a stronger military force. And they gave up an enormous amount of land in order to have that happen. The rule from there was that the Palestinian superpower was the other 80-plus Arab Muslim-majority countries, and Israel's superpower was the United States of America. So the U.S. would be close with Israel, but it couldn't be that close because it would risk a relationship with these 80 other plus countries. That was the lens that the United States of America looked at the Middle East. If only you can resolve the Israeli-Palestinian problem, everything else will fall into place. That was wrong for so many different reasons. The Shia-Sunni conflict has nothing to do with the Palestinians. Iran and Saudi, nothing to do with the Palestinians. Iraq, nothing to do with the Palestinians. And all of our focus was on resolving this very challenging issue. When President Trump shows up, Jared Kushner, Mike Pompeo, David Friedman, they turn it on its head and said, wait a second, there's a new Middle East that we haven't paid attention to. Let's go listen before we preach. And they went and they listened and discovered that the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, were all looking to create a better future. And part of that better future is a closer relationship with the United States of America. And you can't have a closer relationship with the United States of America in the Middle East if you're not close with our number one ally, the only democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And that changed everything.
Talking with Ari Lightstone, his book, Let My People Know, The Incredible Story of Middle East Peace and What Lies Ahead. Follow Ari on Twitter at LightstoneEA. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Looking forward now, let's start with Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is almost, it's looked at as a good agent, a bad agent in that region, depending on what reasons you are looking at Saudi Arabia. Realistically, is Saudi Arabia able to take the steps forward to make it an inviting, peaceful existence and mutually beneficial existence between that country and Israel?
So the answer to that is yes. The lexicon in the Middle East, and especially around Saudi Arabia, has pivoted from will they ever to when will they. So will they ever make peace in the Middle East to when is the right time for them to make peace in the Middle East. And this is a lack of an understanding by the American people in general of Saudi Arabia. And what's important to know is Saudi Arabia modernizes itself, and a critical component to that modernization and leadership in the region is peace with Israel. They've admitted as such publicly. As they do that, as Saudi Arabia sort of joins or even leads part of the next century, 1.5 billion Muslims face Saudi five times a day. So that influence cannot be underestimated. So when Saudi makes peace with Israel, when Saudi gets closer to the United States of America, the trickle-down effect on Islam across the world is incredibly meaningful. And so the Saudi-Israeli normalization or peace agreement, when it happens, not if it happens, but when it happens, has the ability to be one of the most transformative experiences of your or my lifetime, if it's done correctly.
So with that in mind, and what you mentioned too regarding how the Palestinian issue is not the one and only issue, let's turn to the current White House administration, because when it comes to the Middle East, they were basically handed the winning Powerball ticket when it comes to this issue. How have they spent that capital, or are they making the mistake which I hear Democrats make so often, again referring to the Middle East climate as an Israeli-Palestinian situation? They look at it in that narrow scope versus the wider picture that the Abraham Accords helped us all see and better understand.
Yeah, I mean, here's a point of enormous frustration. I'll say the following thing. I wake up every morning and pray that President Biden will be the greatest president of my lifetime, because that's a win for the world. It's certainly a win for me and my family. We're Americans. When America succeeds, we succeed meaningfully. And part of that is the Middle East policy. the fact that the administration chose to take away a winning hand and to play a losing hand because of politics, to me, is very, very dangerous to America. And what do I mean by that? Our friends and allies around the world, all of the people who made peace during the Abraham Accords, not being recognized and elevated for the efforts that they did. So explain to me why there should be other countries waiting in line to make peace for peace. Other countries are going to wait in line, are going to wait in line to get paid in order to make peace, because they believe that there's a Republican foreign policy and a Democratic foreign policy. And that's, by the way, why the Chinese were able to broker the Iran-Saudi reconciliation, because whether any of them like the Iranian policy or they don't, the Chinese policy or not, they know it. It's the Chinese policy for the next 50 years, so they can plan on that, to be able to have the whiplash from Obama to Trump to Biden to who knows what. Even when they know it's a winning hand, is very, very disappointed, because they were our allies, the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, etc., were convinced that making peace with Israel should be an American ideal, not a Republican ideal or a Democratic ideal. I'm sorry for the long-winded answer on that, but I'm very passionate about that. But even more disconcerting is just this past week, before the weekend, it appears as though the United States of America paid a $6 billion ransom for five Americans to be released from an Iranian prison, but not even brought home to America as of this moment, to be brought under house arrest, and to elevate the Iranian kleptocracy, funders of terror, with $6 billion is incredibly harmful and very dangerous.
Well, it's not even just elevating. I think it's more deadly than that. It's empowering them in a variety of ways. We saw that, too, with the nuclear arms agreement going back to the Obama administration. As I said back in the introduction, learning about history is great. When you learn from someone who was in that history as it was being created, that's an opportunity you dare not miss, and you cannot miss when you get Aria's book, Let My People Know, The Incredible Story of Middle East Peace and What Lies Ahead. A lot still lies ahead. A lot of it might be a lot more positive than a lot of people, especially career diplomats, might be thinking right about now, too. You can follow Aria on Twitter at LightstoneEA. Aria Lightstone, you are a preserver of truth and facts, and you help us understand what does lie ahead for the future and what we can do to become a part of a positive future in a very important part of our world. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate the conversation.